You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Our words of wisdom are from Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger,
"Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor."
And they scolded her. But Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
How can we begin to think more deeply about the roles that faith, hope, and love have in the year 2021 and moving forward? But before I get into that question for today, I want to give a little bit of a background of the text that was read. So the gospel according to Mark was written more like an ancient biography, which means that it was meant to lead the reader and the world at that time towards better understanding Jesus's character and his cultural achievements. The focus on Jesus's theology was the understanding of Christology, in other words, you know, who Jesus was, and then the discipleship. That is the response to Jesus. We also know that bathing of the feet was a sign of hospitality. And in this story, it was the woman who was uninvited that bathed Jesus' feet. But the words that we heard in particular in this verse was anointing. And we know that anointing in ancient time was meant to prepare something for a burial. So what could this woman have known about Jesus to begin to prepare him for a burial? And the last bit of background I want us to focus on today is that an alabaster jar, the one that this woman was carrying full of healing nard, was actually a very expensive container made out of a strong and dense stone. So you can imagine the very act of it being broken open was a disruption. So today, I would like us to talk about those strong and dense vessels and containers that each of us carry, and then maybe how we can dream about breaking them open to co-create a new world based on freedom and wholeness. You know, the things that carry us, our own vessels, I wonder what's contained inside. What senses are evoked when that vessel is broken open? And what comes after that disruption? Are we awakened by the sense-invoking break of that vessel? And then do we begin to pay a different kind of attention? You know, here was this woman. She came in uninvited and unbothered and broke open a strong and dense stone to anoint Jesus. Can you imagine that broken jar opening all of the senses of the people who were in that room at that time? I mean, you have the sight of the uninvited woman invoking the sound of the breaking open of the jar, which moved us to smell the healing ointment of nard. And then we can imagine the touch, the sensual healing touch of one person caring for another. And then finally, there were the array of feelings by everybody in that room, perhaps some anger, confusion, sadness, maybe even shame, forgiveness, and joy. So what are the vessels and containers of 2020, of last year? And I want us to meditate briefly in this, in our role ourselves. What containers and vessels did we use and not use in 2020? What were we holding and what are we still holding? What or who carried us? How does that make you feel? For me, I'm humbled, uncertain, and scared, but I'm hopeful. As Marian Kaba shares in an article in The Intercept last month, she says, "What keeps me going is to know that hope is a discipline. It's less about how you feel and more about the practice of making a decision every day that we're still going to put one foot in front of the other, that we're still going to get up in the morning, and that we're still going to struggle." Going back to those vessels of 2020, what if we looked at COVID as a vessel? What did it hold? No. Perhaps it was the realization that the way that we practice capitalism or even participate in capitalism actually creates the need for an essential worker while not paying them a livable wage. It meant that we policed each other's bodies while at the same time ignoring Mother Earth. And I think there's a connection between all of those things. I wonder, did the COVID vessel also hold the realization that perhaps our healthcare wasn't designed to care for the most sick amongst us at the numbers we saw last year? You know, I read in a New York Times article recently that there are at least 10 people for every one person who has died from COVID-19 that is still actively grieving. Friends, that's over 5 million people who are not prepared for the trauma that comes with the loss. And we can't think about COVID without also thinking about our bodies as those vessels and containers and all of the things that we held. It's the realization that our bodies are fragile and that what we do to it and with it can impact whether we suffer and die or struggle and survive. Our bodies are carrying trauma. The realization that trauma does not discriminate between rich and poor, individual and family, or even community and culture and society. And that our experiences and understanding of trauma can often and are most often repressed. And in communities of color, that trauma's denied. Imagine what that does to a community of people. Imagine what that does to us. In 2020, we could see race as a vessel or a container. And that was filled by the realization that racism is founded on white flourishing at the sake of Black, Brown, and Indigenous folks. And that prisons and detention centers as vessels and containers were filled with people made a slave in the 21st century, trapped by the possibility of a life sentence because the lack of care that was provided to prisons or by prisons. And all of this under the false preface of safety. And finally, I ask you, what is it that we see or experience the church as a vessel or a container? What did we hold? At one point, we held rituals and ceremonies and services and celebrations and book clubs and coffee hours and midweek prayer groups. I think even before the pandemic, congregations held the questions of how do we survive? But now we're asking not only how do we survive, but how do we stay relevant? What has COVID changed for churches? And perhaps maybe even the church vessel was holding the questions that begin to help us realize that perhaps the decline of churches and attendance are in part related to the violence that we have either supported through our actions or our silence. And our desire to not rock the boat by maintaining that status quo. Sit with that for a minute. How does that make us feel? What vessel was big enough to hold all of that and so much more unnamed? And thank goodness it broke open. I would like to propose dreams as a vessel moving forward, freedom dreams. And in these freedom dream vessels that we carry the questions of what are we reimagining and dreaming now that the world has broken open? Understanding that we have been so disrupted, that we have so less to lose and so much more love to pour out into the world. And in these dreams, let it be okay that we have a self-examination that is both loving and honest. And I know that this is going to be hard, because we're going to have to learn how to heal ourselves. And friends, I cannot begin to tell you how I'm just understanding that process as I discover the layers and depths to myself. And I've been on this planet for some time. Again, I know this is going to be hard, but I'm ready. I'm ready to start to co-create as we imagine wholeness. You know, we have many stories of God, Mother Earth, and Sister Wisdom that have provided us with lessons of growing through the brokenness. And in those stories, we don't often get it right, whatever that means, but I do believe that we get better. So again, how in 2021 and beyond can we begin to think more deeply about the roles of faith, hope, and love? For me, faith is this belief that we can co-create a new world where we are whole human beings in relationship with Mother Earth and Sister Wisdom and one another. And that we can start modeling Jesus's ministry by bringing those in that Jesus inspired to quit their livelihoods to follow them, to meet at a well and drink with him, to come in uninvited and unbothered to anoint him, to sit in fear and sadness while drinking wine and eating together. And yes, even inviting in those who betrayed him. Isn't this the very model that Jesus gave his life for? And for hope, I wonder how can our discipline of hope, of our faith, guide us into not making the goal to put the pieces back together to look like it was, and perhaps think about something new? Because you know what? It can't and should never go back to the way it was. We can learn from it, but let's not go back. And the love I imagine moving forward, how can we begin to live a life of a post-resurrection modeled by Jesus in his life pre-resurrection? Can churches begin to see and deal with the traumas that have been caused by race, gender violence, the policing of bodies and imaginary borders, and capitalism? And then can we work together to help heal by developing new spiritual practices where breaking and disruption doesn't allow us to lose faith, but it helps us see the new world that we need to and that we can also live another way, one led in the spirit of love. Otherwise, what are we using our faith for? You know, the crazy dichotomy of faith is that we can actually learn or begin to learn to see brokenness as a gift. We could be celebrating the opening of that vessel in order to co-create a world where we can become whole and a beloved community. And personally, I'm hoping that my faith guides me to continue to ask the questions of how we can begin to see and help others see that the idea of putting people in cages and policing bodies and imaginary borders makes us safe, because that's a ridiculous notion. What makes us safe is us. And I think that this happens when we start to turn away from profiting off of each other. It means that we have to begin to have the really hard conversations around the violence of race and gender and language and capitalism, and turn towards a wholeness that happens through the healing process. A big influence for my sermon this week was Canon Stephanie Spellers. She was a guest speaker during my fellowship cohort last month. And her presentation on brokenness was one of the most moving experiences that I have felt with my whole body in a really long time. She helped me to begin to allow myself to ask the questions about brokenness and co-creating. And in this process of asking questions, I actually realized that I can't do this alone. I can't co-create by myself. So my invitation to you, inspired by Stephanie Spellers, is how can we love the church and our faith enough to allow it to crack open and to sit with it? Because leaving anyone out was never what God intended. Friends, beloved community, and comrades, hold me and I'll hold you. Carry me and I'll carry you. And love me and I'll love you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.